Well, praise the Lord, we're living in momentous days. We're living in momentous days when God is preparing His church for tremendous revival and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But I want to look, just to begin with, at two streams in the church today. And in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11, Revelation 22 and verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, we're seeing there like a polarization. Wickedness, darkness, evil, getting worse. But on the other hand, righteousness, holiness, increasing and increasing. He that is unjust, let him continue to be unjust. He which is filthy, let him continue to be filthy. In other words, that filthiness, the unrighteousness, the darkness, getting worse and worse and worse. And we're seeing in America today, and we're seeing in the nations of the earth, apostasy, evil, darkness, filth, escalating very rapidly. Apostasy. But the promise is, he that is holy, let him continue to become holy. So it speaks there of two paths. Whatever path we choose, we'll either get better and better, or it will get worse and worse. And even in the church, there's coming two streams. And Pastor Bailey, many years ago, he had a vision in the end times. And we know in the world get things darker and darker. But he also, in this vision, God showed him that there was coming a division, not just in the world, but a division within the church. And in this vision that Pastor Bailey saw many years ago, it was the church dividing in these last days. And he saw a stream of light that was intensely pure. It was stretching out before him. On the one hand was the pathway of righteousness. Pathway of purity. Pathway of holiness. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. It gets brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. But this pure stream of light which he saw divided into two streams. One was going to the right, one was going to the left. And the one going to the right, the one that went to the right, it seemed perfectly pure as the other. But as it continued, he said, I saw the light begin to decrease and become grey. And then the waters became increasingly murky. And he could see many unclean creatures in the waters. And eventually it flowed into a dark forest. And down, 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 down. And finally down into the pit. But the stream of light on the left, it flowed up and up and up, brighter and brighter, until it found its end in Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. And there it flowed to the right hand of the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when Pastor Bailey had that vision, the Lord spoke to him clearly that his church, would divide in these last days. And at that time, one area that God spoke to Pastor Bailey about was the area of divorce and remarriage. And, you know, we're seeing that happening. I mean, even when I grew up, I mean, people getting divorced and remarried, it was, you know, it was very, very rare, very, very uncommon. But now it's just come in like a flood into the church. And many churches that took a stand against it before, now many pastors marry divorced people, remarry divorced people, and many pastors themselves sometimes have been married and divorced 2 or 3 times. And it's come right into the church today. And those who advocate, you know, such impurity, they'll be diverted to the stream on the right. And their way will be increasingly murky as they compromise more and more with other issues. And that verse from Revelation 22 and verse 11, I mean, that verse, it is written not to the unbelievers, it's written to the believers. It's written to the saints. And we have to choose that pathway. Path of the just. This is the shining light. There's a choice of pathways. And if we put our foot into the right pathway, into the pathway of righteousness, we plod on it, we begin walking on it, then the Lord will be pleased to come and set our feet and establish our feet in the pathway of righteousness, in the pathway of holiness, in the pathway of purity. And then God will set our feet in that pathway. But those who don't want righteousness, their feet will be set in a different pathway, and it'll be set. And God is calling us not only to follow righteousness. Lot, he was a righteous man, but he was certainly not holy. And he was with the wrong people. Daniel, he was righteous, but he was holy. And there was a separation in his life, a separation from sin, from the world, and a separation unto the Lord. He walked in holiness. Many churches, as we've heard already, you know, the false grace message. You know, you can sin, do what you like. There is the grace of God. Don't worry about it. God will forgive you. Many churches, many mega churches even, just are embracing this false grace message. One pastor of a huge church in America, he was interviewed on TV. And, you know, what can he say about, you know, homosexuality? And he didn't answer it. He wouldn't touch it. He said, well, I don't touch that. He went on to something else. He didn't want to offend people. And the true grace message we see in Ezekiel 36:27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. if we put our feet into the way of the unjust, there comes a place where there's the point of no return. People who walk that path, they come to a place where it's virtually impossible for them to come back. In verse 11 in Revelation 22, it's followed by others, which other verses which enforce this message. And when Pastor Bailey declared that vision about the church dividing at a big convention, and he declared it there, I think it was the next morning, Sister Bailey felt to do the laundry early in the morning at 7 o'clock. And there she met another lady also doing a laundry. And that lady told Sister Bailey, said that her father heard from God. And God told him when the World War One would start, when it would finish. And when World War Two would start, when it would finish. And then God told him the church would divide. And the daughter said, you know, the church will separate from the world. And he said, no. The church will divide. And that confirmed, you know, what Pastor Bailey had declared. And, you know, by the grace of God, we want to be those. We want to be those. We want to be like the sons of Zadok, who followed righteousness and holiness, who were separated, the clean from the unclean, and to stay on the pathway of righteousness. You know, we're living in a day when ministers, when believers, when so many Christians are compromising. You know, many are being turned aside. When you think in the Old Testament, think of, you know, Aaron. He was a great man. He was the first high priest. But even Aaron, the first high priest, Moses was up in the mountain, and 40 days, 40 nights, fasting in the presence of God. And God gave him there the two tables of stone. And when he comes down, Aaron was leading the people, and the people had got this golden calf and got all their, given all their gold and the jewelry and everything, made the golden calf, and were worshipping that. And Aaron says, you know, the people wanted it. He compromised. He gave in to the pressure. And he said, well, they put it in the fire, and just out came this golden calf, Exodus 32, 23 and 24. God in his mercy forgave him, and he got back. But by the grace of God, we want to be those where there's no compromise in our lives. You know, so many start well the Christian life. They start well, but problems come, difficulties come, trials come, and they don't continue. They don't go on. They fall away. Joash, one of the kings of Judah, came to the kingdom when he was 7 years of age. And he was guided by his uncle, Jehoiada. And for those initial years of his reign, when he was guided in the ways of godliness by Jehoiada, his uncle, you know, he followed God's ways. He followed God's truth. He walked in godliness. He sought to lead the people in the ways of the Lord. But then when Jehoiada died, again, compromise. He compromised with those who were younger and those who would turn him away from the paths of righteousness and the paths of godliness. And the sad thing is that he authorized the death of Zechariah, who was a son of Jehoiada. He was a prophet of God and gave the word of the Lord. And Joash turned from the Lord, turned from the ways of God, backslid, and even was responsible for the death of the prophet Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. You know, compromise. Rehoboam, he was the first king of Judah after the time of Solomon. But then he listened to the wrong counsel. He listened to the counsel of his contemporaries, of the young men. And they said, increase the burden, increase the taxes. But the old men said, no, lighten their load. But he wouldn't listen to the old men, to the wisdom of the old men. He compromised, and the result was that, you know, 10 tribes of Israel were lost. That the church will divide. The church will divide in the last days. Another vision I want to share, which ties in with the vision that Pastor Bailey had, and this is by a prophetic ministry sent to me by Pastor Holmes, and it says that the Lord, in this vision, he said, the Lord and I were together in a great valley, and the Lord led me to the banks of a wide river with rapidly moving water. And he noticed a horrible smell coming from the water. The smell was overpowering me, and it reeked like stagnant water. And when I looked down into it, there was no life in this water, other than tadpoles and leeches, but no vegetation or fish. It didn't make sense to me because there was an actively moving river and should have been full of life. And I asked the Lord, and he said that this water was not stagnant, but it was polluted. And then the Lord took him to the mouth of it, and the river was flowing out of the side of the mountain. And it was located at the corner of the valley, and the mountain was of the mountain. And the mountain was a very large factory, and it was surrounded by a high fence with razor wire across the top. And there was a sign written across the top of the door that read, "The Modern Church." And at the four corners were high watchtowers with armed guards on each of it. And these watchmen were looking for an enemy. And the Lord said that the enemy they were looking for was any man or any woman that would dare challenge the practices of this modern church. And he then told me that they were highly trained character assassins, and they would stop at nothing to silence the voices of those who would speak out and challenge the carnal practices of the modern church system. We went behind the factory where the river ran beside it, and there was a concrete ramp leading down into the water, and people were dumping barrels of substances, all kinds of chemicals and substances into this water. The barrels were labeled, and the labels were these: humanism, universalism, you know, everyone's going to be saved, carnality, lust, sexual immorality, compromise, greed, fear of man. He then led me down the river, and we came upon a large fruit field. The trees were very green, but they either had no fruit or the fruit was rotten or infected by insects. The Lord said that these trees were meant to be a good fruit, but the roots were tapped into contaminated and polluted water. We then moved further down the river to the village. The people there were very trendy and modern in their style and dress. And one man I spoke to, his eyes were whited out. He was like a zombie. Death was in his face. I began to declare to him he was dead, but that I could lead him to life. And he began to defend his position with all sorts of philosophies. Nothing I said was impacting him. And the Lord said he wouldn't hear me, because he wouldn't endure sound doctrine, that this man was the product of people eating rotten fruit and drinking of the polluted waters. The man was utterly convinced he was alive, and he couldn't be convinced of his condition. From there, the Lord took me into a mountain where the river began. He took me past the factory and into the cave where the water was coming out. It was the clearest, most beautiful water I'd ever seen. The water was living and vibrant. The Lord said that this river was the pure movement of his Spirit. And he told me that this river was where his power and anointing was found. And he said that many people are looking for him in the valley of man. But he wasn't found there. He was found in the hill of the Lord. And he gave me an invitation to his people to come, to flow in this river. And he said many of his ministers would not tap into it because of what was required. And the Lord gave him the requirements to stay in the pure river. Only say what God says with no fear of man. No, that's what we need. So say what God says. No fear of man. To honor him, to love him more than the praise of man. To abstain from sexual immorality. To never prostitute the gift that God has given. Or God has given us for financial gain. To stay humble and to always be a good husband to our wives and a good father to our children. And he said, if I maintain these things, the Lord said, if I maintain these things in my life and ministry, he would allow me to flow in his pure river. And he said, if I would violate any one of these things, I would no longer be allowed to stay in the mountain of God. And then he quoted those familiar scripture, Psalm 24, 3-5. Who are the ones? Who are the ones to ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands, a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he'll receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And he said that many ministers begin their ministries in a clear river, but after time find themselves in a valley. And he warned me strongly that once you go down to the valley, though it's possible to make your way back to the mountain, it is almost impossible, because many times it will require public repentance or public humility, and many have problems dealing with their pride to do that. And may the church of Jesus arise with clean hands, pure hearts. You know, there's two rivers flowing. There were two streams. Let us, by the grace of God, be in that right stream. You know, the vision of Pastor Bailey many years ago, which encourages me greatly, when we see what is happening in the world today, which we see what is happening in the church today, and that, you know, he saw revival coming to America, revival coming to America. And he had this vision many, many years ago. Tremendous revival, tremendous power, tremendous glory coming to America. And that revival, you know, spreading to many nations around the world. And God has been speaking to us this week about many things. Not to compromise, about pride, about many other areas, about blemishes, dealing with blemishes in our lives, and that we would be a people who are ready and prepared for that coming revival. In Isaiah 60, and again, very familiar scripture, but a very pertinent scripture to where we are right now. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And that glory is coming. We've been singing this morning, his glory is coming. It is coming. And we can see the fulfillment of verse 2. The darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. And if ever that is happening, we are now in the midst of that. I mean, we are descending rapidly into apostasy, into darkness. Gross darkness, the people. I mean, you can't get much worse than legalizing homosexuality and homosexual marriages. Gross darkness is in the nation. But that is the time that the Lord, verse 2, will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And in a sense, the darkness, that is not, it's not discouraging, but at the same time, it is discouraging. It is encouraging in a sense, in that we know it is time. It is the time. Because in the times of great darkness, that is the time revival will be birthed, and the glory will be seen, and the power of God come upon his people, and a tremendous harvest of souls be gathered in. The Lord shall rise upon thee. His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Kings, kings will come to the brightness of thy rising. And then it's verse 5, it speaks about the harvest coming in. And thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. And the forces, or the wealth of the Gentiles, shall come to thee. I mean, incredible times are coming. What eye has not seen, what ear has not heard. You know, God is going to bring us in, I believe, to dimensions of his power and his glory to be manifest in our midst. Momentous times that we're in. There's going to be shaking. There is a shaking that's going on already. And Satan and the powers of darkness are going to do everything that they can to hinder us, to stop us, to get us off the path. Yes, there will be suffering. Yes, there will be hardships. Yes, there will be trials. Yes, as we've heard in prophecy this morning, there will be a cost to go on for the Lord. But I believe God is wanting us to choose that by the grace of God, we will be those, you know, no matter what the cost, no matter what the price, no matter what the shape, no matter what the trial, no matter what we have to go through, by the grace of God, we will plant our feet in the righteousness, holiness, purity. We will follow the Lord. We will press into God. We will seek God for the birthing of what God is about to do. And that scripture we all know so well. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people, you know, we are the key. We are the key. If my people will humble themselves. We've been taught a prophecy yesterday, came about the snare, the trap of pride, and the message last night about pride. Humble ourselves. Humility. Complete dependence upon God. An attitude of a slave to his master. You know, realizing we are nothing. We have nothing. We're dependent upon the Lord. If my people will humble themselves and pray, and we are called, God said, we, God's people, we are to pray and seek his face. John Wesley said, God does nothing on earth save an answer to believing prayer. And I believe as pastors and ministers, you know, we need to call our people to pray. We need to pray ourselves, but to call our people also to pray and to fast and to seek God. David said, I humbled my soul with fastings, to pray, to fast, to seek God, to turn from every wicked way. And as we do those things, and as we continue to do them, I mean, Elijah didn't pray. Elijah persevered. He persevered until that rain came. And, you know, it's so easy to give up. It's so easy to become discouraged. But I believe God is calling us to press in, to pray as we've never prayed before, that indeed the promises of God, revival here in America, revival in the nations, revival in our place, in our church, will burst forth. And I just feel this morning, in a moment I'm just going to ask you, invite you, if you really want to go on for God and enter into what we're about to see, and you're willing, by the grace of God, no matter what the cost, no matter what the shaking, no matter what the difficulty, you want to put your feet in God's ways. You want to seek God. You want to see revival. You want to be used of God. I want to just to invite you just to come to the front, and we're going to sing, and we're going to ask the trumpet to be blown this morning, just as we're the call of God. I believe it's like a wake up call. The trumpet blows. The trumpet blew in the Old Testament. It blew when they had to move on in God. And as the trumpet blows this morning, I believe just that we are going to affirm by the grace of God, yes, I will not stay where I am. I will go on. I will press into God. I will walk in the pathway of righteousness and holiness. I will go forward by his grace. I want to be used in revival. I want to be on that pure river, that river of God. And we'll affirm that and believe God. Just a couple of scriptures there. Joel 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let holy mountain Zion, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Turn ye unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and weeping, and mourning. Joel 2, verse 12, verse 13, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Joel 2:15, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation. And let's, by the grace of God, we will be ones who will go on for the Lord. We will go on even unto Mount Zion.